How's it going, folks? You are very welcome to A History of Change, the podcast. In this episode, we are going to be examining the course of the famine. So, the blight which struck Ireland's potato crop arrived in Ireland in August 1845. It had already at this point been recorded in England, Scotland, and other parts of Europe earlier on in the year. The blight had a devastating impact on Ireland's potato crop, rotting the leaves and roots, and very quickly destroying around half of Ireland's potato crop. In this first year, in 1845, very few people had died because most farmers had stockpiled enough potatoes from the previous year. In 1846, the blight struck again. The entire potato crop was wiped out. Because there was so few harvested in the previous year, farmers had none stored away. That year, in particular, suffered a colder than usual winter, which worsened conditions in Ireland. Many people quickly became malnourished, and diseases like typhus and cholera actually ended up causing more deaths than starvation because people's immune systems became extremely weakened. Mass starvation and disease occurred throughout the countryside, in particularly the west and southwest of Ireland. In 1847, many families resorted to actually eating their potato seeds because it was the only food that they had, and this left them with nothing to plant whatsoever. This became probably the worst year of the famine. There was no harvest whatsoever, mass starvation, lots of disease, and this year became infamously known as Black 47. Throughout 1848 and 1849, the blight continued to destroy the potato crop. The starvations continued while many other people were evicted from their holdings because they could not afford to pay rent or fell in arrears in their rent. Again, diseases such as cholera and typhus continued to be widespread and killed many people whose immune systems had been severely damaged by starvation. By the year 1850, the potato harvest gradually began to improve. While the blight did remain in smaller pockets, but it was not near as the same scale as previous years. Due to a number of factors, the famine will have a different impact on different regions in Ireland. Okay, so for example, Connacht, the province of Connacht, would suffer the worst devastation during the famine years. Connacht's population would drop by around 30% because of death and emigration. Connacht had little or no industry whatsoever, and this meant that the population was pretty much reliant on farming to, I suppose, grow food and to make a bit of money. If any of you have ever been to Connacht or lived there, you'll know that the land is sometimes difficult to farm on. It is very mountainous land and often boggy land, meaning it's already, at the best of times, difficult to farm on. So when the blight struck, it was particularly devastating in Connacht. In Munster, the population declined by about 22.5% during the famine years. Now, Munster contains quite a few mountains and boggy land, but not to the same extent as Connacht. It does contain quite a lot of fertile land as well. In Ulster, the population dropped by 15.7% due to death and emigration. Now, this was different, okay? So, in like Cavan, Monaghan and Fermanagh, the land was quite poor. Okay, for example, 42% of Cavan's population would die during the famine years. Cavan, well known for having a lot of drumlin hills and lakes, so it's not really suitable for growing potatoes on. Cities like Belfast were quite industrialized. They actually experienced an influx of people during the famine who sought refuge there in workhouses. In Leinster then, the overall population fell by about 15.3% due to death and emigration. Dublin City itself would experience an increase in population due to the influx of rural poor seeking refuge in the workhouses. Leinster contained a lot of the country's best land. I suppose a lot of the largest towns in Ireland were in Leinster. Leinster had the best roads and transport links, meaning aid could be transported a lot easier to those who needed it. As a result, the province did not suffer in the same way as Connacht and Munster. As a result of the Act of Union, Ireland was under the control of Great Britain and was part of the United Kingdom. So they would be responsible for administering famine relief to Ireland. In 1846, the British Prime Minister Robert Peel arranged for Indian corn maize from New York to be sent to Ireland to try and help and relieve the starving. While this did help, there were some challenges. Firstly, many of the poor Irish could not afford this corn despite the fact that it was subsidised and it was quite cheap. Others were unable to access the corn because the corn was brought to ports and then brought to certain depots around the country, and others simply couldn't get there due to poor transport links. The corn was also difficult to prepare and eat. Many Irish people could not understand the instructions that came with the corn and attempted to eat it raw. As a result, quite a few Irish people got sick. The corn had an extremely hard texture and it was nicknamed Peel's Brimstone as a result. Robert Peel also established public work schemes. These were schemes where people could work on projects like building roads and other infrastructure in return for a wage. Now, unfortunately, the wage they got was often so low that they could not even afford to buy simple food because the price of food increased because it was so scarce. A lot of people working on these public work schemes were extremely malnourished at this point and did not really have the energy to carry out the manual labour required of them. While these efforts were not perfect, they did provide some little help in alleviating the starving Irish. Another key factor in terms of famine relief in Ireland was the establishment of workhouses. Now, workhouses had existed for quite a while before the famine, but they were extended during the famine years. The workhouses were first established in 1840 as part of the Poor Law Act. The idea is, if you get into a workhouse, you will be provided with shelter and food in return for work. Now, very quickly, workhouses became completely overcrowded because people were so eager to get access to them. Conditions in the workhouse were bad. Disease spread rapidly. Many children were unfortunately separated from their families. As the workhouses got more and more overcrowded, the food ration declined. However, they did still help to alleviate some of the starving in Ireland. Overall, it is believed around 163 workhouses operated in Ireland during the famine years. In 1849 alone, 923,000 Irish people were admitted to the workhouses. Now, while Sir Robert Peel had made some quite good efforts to provide relief for the starving Irish during the famine, this would change under the leadership of a new Prime Minister, Lord John Russell. Russell believed that the Irish should be capable of alleviating the situation themselves, and he decided not to interfere with problems in Ireland. This became known as laissez-faire or let-it-be politics. During this time, he employed a civil servant called Charles Trevelyan to help administer relief to Ireland during the famine. Now, Trevelyan did not have much time for Irish people. Trevelyan stated that the famine is a punishment from God for an idle, ungrateful and rebellious country, an indolent and unself-reliant people. The Irish are suffering from an affliction of God's providence. He basically believed that Ireland was too reliant on handouts from Britain, and this is a punishment for not being able to provide their own food. Now, despite this, they did set up soup kitchens in 1847. Okay, about 3 million Irish people were fed daily in these. However, they actually closed very prematurely in autumn of the same year because the British government believed the famine would soon end, which they were completely wrong. Due to the lack of aid and relief measures provided by the British government, it prompted a number of other countries and private international organisations to step in to try and help those in Ireland. For example, English residents living in Calcutta in India set up the Calcutta Committee in 1845. Through their fundraising, they sent aid to the worst hit areas of Ireland. The Ottoman Empire sent ships loaded with food to Ireland. These ships would land in the port of Drogheda in County Louth. In the USA, Native American tribes such as the Choctaws would raise money for Ireland. Other states such as Massachusetts, South Carolina and Pennsylvania would also send funding to Ireland.